The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens, with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com. Even though your home base is one Enneagram type, you have characteristics of all the types. Tune in to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel the second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how you can unlock your unlimited potential. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more about Renee and her work. That's the letter U, the letter R, PurePotential.com.
Don't miss Colette Marie Steffen on The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens, every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Colette is a renowned energy worker here to help you see the serendipitous humor of the truth. It's funny. Tune in and laugh with Colette. Shift into your highest potential. Call into the show to work on your personal shift with Colette and visit TheTruthIsFunny.com to learn more about all the life-shifting services Colette offers. Grace your space with flair. Dragon Art to Soothe Your Soul by Colette Marie Steffen is available now. Colette invested an average of 6 months on each painting. Her piece titled Courage took 3 years to complete. The paintings are printed with the latest technology to best capture the true essence of the paintings. Browse the 64 dragons and dragonflies and order your paintings today at talesfromthevector.com.
Welcome to Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. I'm Susie Parker Goins. I'm a channel bringing through spirit guides in accessible and resonant ways for you to connect with your higher self, sharing soul-level conversations to help you in your spiritual path. I upload weekly channeled messages, interviews, and information on a variety of topics, sharing my learning and opening doors for growth. You can find a listing of upcoming podcasts at bluelightninghealing.com. Until next time, blessings.
The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens, with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Get ready to toss your limitations and shift into a space of authentic, limitless living. Karen is a holistic nurse practitioner, plant essence alchemist, and movement medicine educator, bringing you passionate conversations that will ignite your potential to create expansive change in any and every facet of your life. Are you ready? Here's Karen.
And welcome to The Truth is Funny. I'm very excited about my guest today, and I want to just dive right in. I was referred to Christine Kent through an Instagram link when I was looking for information about vaginal prolapse. And I listened to her podcast, which I can't remember where it was, and got in contact with her right away and was absolutely amazed. What I, as a nurse, I am most profoundly excited about people that find solutions through their own journey. There's a passion that leads us when we are exploring for our own health, but we also happen to be a practitioner that's doing it with the opportunity and the thought that we can be serving humanity in a way that is particularly unique, not only to our own experience, but to unique solutions that may provide profound health and healing for those that are ready for it. And Christine, boy, she has a wealth of information that really opens you not only to the incredible opportunity that lies in a woman's own landscape, but how much you can affect change in your own body. And that came about by a challenge that she had. And this is where I just want to say hello, Christine, and thank you so much for joining us here for this hour.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Karen. It's a great pleasure to be with you.
Fellow nurses, always, the spine just fell, always excite me because we've been journeying along in many different ways of curiosity and exploration. So tell us, what is your story? how did you get to where you were, finding this incredible company that you run, Whole Woman Incorporated, and teaching and sharing all the profound work you have?
Okay, well, briefly, I was in a four-year nursing program here at the University of New Mexico, right up the street. And it was just time for me to have a well woman checkup. And we had moved to New Mexico a couple of years before, and I needed a new gynecologist. So actually, it was a fellow nursing student who recommended this woman, a female, and she found a fibroid. I was a nurse. I was a grown woman, but remember, this was well before the internet. I had never heard of a fibroid. And the woman literally rubbed her hands together and she said, "We don't know what this is. We think it's okay, but my recommendation is hysterectomy." And I went out of there, drove home, burst into tears, and discussed it with my husband. I just couldn't go there. I asked for a second opinion. She sent me to her friend down the street, another woman. We're very naive. And the woman said, "Oh, it's just, your uterus is just a bag. You've had your kids. Let's take it out vaginally while we still can." And both my older sister and my mother had the surgery, hysterectomy, and I just couldn't go there. And so I contacted the gynecologist that I had gone to in Southern California. This was, Scripps Hospital, La Jolla. I thought I was just in the best hands. He said, "Oh, we'll take the fibroid out with modern laser surgery, no problem." So we set up the whole insurance, all of that. My husband and I flew out. And the day before my surgery was my pre-op appointment. And he did find the fibroid. And he said, "Are you having any other problems?" I said, "No, I'm just totally healthy. I just lose a little bit of urine when I cough or sneeze once in a while." And he said, "Oh, you're too young for that. We're going to be in there anyway. Let's just tuck up your bladder." And I asked him, by this time, I had started to look around a bit, had gone to the library and started researching this area of women's health, and asked him, "Are there any risks?" "Oh, it's a fabulous surgery. No risk other than infection, anesthesia." And it turned out to be a very, very deep abdominal surgery called a Marshall Marchetti Krantz, or MMK, where they actually, all incontinence surgeries, every one of them, the goal is to make an unnatural angle in the urethra. So, it acts as an angle of obstruction. And so what he did from the outside, right, in a low, bikini cut laparotomy, he dug in, which is my front vaginal wall on either side of my urethra, and pulled my front vaginal wall forward. So anyway, the recovery was horrible. It was, terrible getting home on the airplane. But my uterus immediately just slid right down, because my vagina was now tethered to according to my op report, the rectus muscles of my abdominal wall. And it caused an immediate and profound uterine prolapse. So I called him up immediately when I discovered this huge alarming bulge. And he said, "Well, this is a real problem now. You're going to have a hysterectomy." I hung up the phone. I was furious. I never spoke to him again and just went on this journey. I was not going to have a hysterectomy, but I was going to find out what had been done to me and how I could naturalize my pelvis. So it took years, and I had graduated. I was working in hospitals with this really uncomfortable bulge. It was sticking out, an inch and a half of my vagina. So struggling with pessaries, all of that. And I'll just tell you real quickly, there was about a 6-month period where there were many insights. One of which I took Bharatanatyam, which is classical Indian dance, from a local woman here in town. And I had taken ballet when I was young and we were all in class and I said, oh, this is like ballet. And she said, well, in Bharatanatyam, you're allowed to have a butt. So, I mean, we were really accentuating that beautiful lumbar curvature. And I went out of there and my symptoms were better. So that was one of the huge ahas. And anyway, spent years in the medical center library just doing this very, very broad literature search. And I ended up redescribing female pelvic anatomy because gynecology has it wrong. And I resolved my symptoms. And then my son, my husband, put up the Whole Woman website. And actually, it was my son who talked me into having a forum, an online forum. I didn't want a forum. What am I going to say to these women? So I just started teaching this day after day after they bought a little internet traffic. I just started teaching it. And I mean, it was not even weeks, that these women, and it was women of all ages, postpartum mommies. We had so many postpartum mommies, older women. They started writing back, oh my God, my symptoms are improving. And so, the rest is history. Yeah. And it didn't stop there, because the women themselves would tell me, not only are my prolapse symptoms better, but my hip pain's gone away. So I delved into a years-long search of the hips literature and, tweaking the pelvis, my pelvis models in my head to understand the hip joint as well. So yeah, this is what I'm calling the work now is, having gone from women's health to women's health ecology, and it's work that's time has come.
Yeah. I mean, and I love one of the things that I found most profound was when I started doing your work is I felt a calmness in my body. It's almost like when you engage the posture that you speak of, your body responds. And I've been doing a lot of work on sensing and feeling the body. And so I could feel how, the body was like, yes, this is how we're designed to be. Not, like this idea of gripping all the time, this idea of tightening and firming. Is synonymous, right, with the fight, with this, we're at war, and this idea that we're at war with our body. I felt that simmering away and just melting away into this sort of amplification of wisdom. And mm-hmm. and you were the one that said it's the parasympathetic nervous system. The posture actually helps amplify that. And that makes sense, right? That's the rest and rejuvenating. So not only do your organs respond and things start to move around, which we're going to get into some of that. But before we go there, I just wanted to say the Whole Woman is such a great name because it is. It has a whole woman, ripple effect on your body, mind, and your spirit. And who would think that a posture could do something as that? But the reality is we've been engaging the wrong posture or an incorrect posture for many, many years. And it's like written in us. Yeah. It's habitualized. And as I said to you, I can do the work and then 20 minutes later, I'm standing in the store line gripped again, I'm like, oh my goodness, there I am gripped. So it's this constant opportunity to rewire your body mind, which is really what inspires me so much. And I love the fact that this was your journey. And you were finding the solution for you. Now, the question many people will have that I feel we need is, what's wrong with surgery? What's wrong with taking your uterus out? Like, what's the big deal? Like, I know plenty of people that have done it. My mother had it done and she's fine. What was your impetus to not have the surgery? Which I want to laugh before that, because if you're a nurse, you're like, because if you've been there, you would never want it beyond that.
So, I think we have to talk a bit about the anatomy first before we answer that question. And so you're absolutely right about your body, mind, spirit being supported in what we're calling whole woman posture. It's not the right posture. It's not the correct posture. This is the natural posture for the human body. It's also whole child posture. And the reason we know it's natural is because it is evidenced in our development as human beings. It's also whole man posture. But when we come into the world as little baby girls, we do have a pelvic floor underneath us. We have a little funnel-shaped abdominopelvic space. And this baby is raising intra-abdominal pressure every time she poops, cries, takes a breath in. And her pelvic floor sits opposite of her respiratory diaphragm. The respiratory diaphragm is coming all the way down to her last set of ribs every time she's taking a breath in. Now, she's not in danger of blowing out her pelvic organs because these muscle layers, they're made of the same type, the same amount of muscle tissue. So the pressures just bounce back and forth between the two sets of muscles. She also carries those pelvic organs very high. They're in line with their channels. So we're talking about the urethra, bladder, the vagina, uterus, the anal rectum, sigmoid, colon. These are in straight lines in this little long abdominal pelvic space. So they're really more like abdominal organs. Of course, they're the connective tissue separations. Well, when the child then starts to crawl, everybody's seen a horse lift its tail and poop out the back. Her pelvic opening now is at the back, right? And so she's crawling along, and when she stands up at, 10, 12 months, whatever it is, she does not do so by rotating her pelvis backward. This was a mistake that was made 500 years ago. Apes have to do that because they have a very short, very inflexible lumbar spine. Our hip bones have moved back. They've broadened. It's freed our sacrum. We have a very free lumbar spine. So when this child stands up, she only does so by profoundly curving her lumbar spine. And this posture does not change until someone tells her, pull it in, suck it in, belt it in, get rid of it. And so why you find natural whole woman posture so calming is because it supports natural breath. Both natural female posture and the cadence of our breath fit the golden proportion, which we see everywhere in nature. So by 3 years of age, she has a very, very pronounced lumbar curvature if she's been allowed to run and jump and, be normally active.
I just want to interrupt and sort of please. Just one of the most powerful things for me was learning that the curves in our spine are developed through movement, right? Through the baby lifting their head, you get the curve in the cervical spine. And like you were saying, through crawling, we create that lumbar spine. So it's by movement. And I just it's one of the most exciting things to me that like movement is what shapes our body, which goes into why sedentary life, may have all of the true associations that it has, but, and this movement, this gripping, this tightening, that so much of the healing modern approach to or gynecological approach to the women's disorders are the opposite of movement. They're more gripping and tightening and holding. Would you say that is a distinct difference?
Well, as far as gynecology is concerned, they really only see us in this position, whether we're on the lithotomy table, the birthing table, the operative table, and their perspective does not go beyond that. They do not have a holistic perspective of the female body.
But so for those listening on the radio that can't see this podcast, this is going to be videoed and on the website, but what Christine is showing us is a woman on her back. So a pelvis on the back, lying on its side, is the position that medicine looks at a woman from. And Christine is showing how, you know, so much changes when you are upright, when you are in the position that is not on your back.
And so here is the huge aha. This is the crux of the problem. And this is what sets whole woman apart from every other modality out there. We've been on, we went live on the internet in 2003. And it's really staggering how physical therapy, et cetera, these practices have not wanted to adopt the reality. And we'll talk about self-evidence in a moment. But so we have stood up with this very pronounced lumbar curvature. We have a pelvic wall. We do not have a pelvic floor. We have a pelvic wall at the back of our body. So, but, you know, certainly by, you know, late childhood, certainly by sexual maturity, the pelvis is at right angles to the abdominal wall. And it's this extraordinary thing that happens every time we take a breath in, moment by moment, year by year. Those pelvic organs now that remember they were high and in line with their channels, they are being pushed down by the force of the lumbar curvature, the force of our breath. They are being pushed down into sharp right angles. So now we have urethra, bladder, vagina, uterus, anal rectum, sigmoid, colon, okay? And this is our continence system. This is our pelvic organ support system. And this is called antiverted, when they're pushed toward the front, antiverted. An antiverted uterus cannot also be a prolapsed uterus. It's when the uterus tips up, and either because, you know, the vaginal walls are continuous with the cervix, they're continuous with the uterus. And so when the uterus tips up, which it does when we chronically hold in our belly, we'll talk about the human abdominal wall. Yes, so the vagina loses its support. So either that cervix, you know, continues to be pushed back toward the vaginal opening. These organs haven't fallen down. They have been pushed back from the abdominal wall. Our pelvic organs are supported by our lower abdominal wall and our true pelvic floor, which is a bony pelvic floor, our pubic bones that come together underneath us like straps of a saddle. So when we start to lose that angle, then the angle widens, and instead of this, we're talking about the urethra bladder here, instead of increases in intra-abdominal pressure with a cough, a sneeze, instead of, you know, pushing that bladder down and increasing the angle, the garden hose is opened up. And, you know, what's in this little bulge that starts to develop is immediately pushed out. You know, it's a small, with stress urinary incontinence, and that's what so many young athletes, young mommies have, because, you know, that it's vital after childbirth that women, you know, understand that this natural alignment needs to be restored, you know, that their uterus has to come forward again.
It's so easy right after childbirth, right? Like that is like, the body is so malleable at that point, right?
The issue is that they, you know, they're tucked into couches and beds, you know, soft furniture, cuddling their newborn, and they have no idea that they're pushing things toward the outlet, which is at the back.
Yeah, so just simple things, even after birth, of changing posture, changing position, which is all available to learn from Christine's website. We're going to go into more of it. I feel like this is a great point to also mention, if you're getting excited about this, like I do, that these opportunities are available to us right after birth to use posture and sitting in ways that support us deeply right after birth, anytime in life. Christine has a whole woman conference coming up. Would you tell us a little bit about that before we even go further?
Yes, thank you, Karen. This is our 10th annual Full Woman Conference. It's online. It's our second online conference, obviously, because of COVID. So it will be aired August 13th through the 15th. And you can read all about it at wholewoman.com. There's a conference link there. Just click on that. Look at the schedule. It starts at 6 p.m. on Friday. We go all the way till 7:30 p.m. on Sunday. And we will be covering the Whole Woman work like we always do, plus a lot more. So I think your listeners will find it very, very intriguing.
Yeah. I'm so excited for it. And Christine, on her website, also has courses that you can get started on today to learn how to incorporate this posture into your everyday life. And, you know, I would just add my last little bit here, which is, you know, it's not what we do once a week for a half hour or an hour and a half that creates the expression of our body. It's what we're doing all the time. It's our habits and patterns. And again, it's what I love so much about this work is, you know, you feel the change in it when you just incorporate the main principles that Christine speaks of. And it's such an opportunity.
So, oh, yes. And Karen, they can find the flagship work at wholewoman.com/first aid for prolapse.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. When you get right. Exactly. That's the course I took, which then had me sign up for your course. And I'm in her yearly course to learn everything about it. And it's so exciting. It's so fun. And it's great to be a part of a bunch of women who are exploring their own bodies and their own unique expressions and learning how they can become, you know, their own agents of change, which again is what I love about your work too, is that, you know, you are the one that can be the most powerful agent of change if you understand where we come from. And like we've spoken about, look at, you know, when you look at a child's posture, a three-year-old's posture, and we're going to insert these images into the video so you'll get to see this, it makes so much sense. And I would add my other is I remember looking at my daughter's postures and being like, why are their bellies forward? Why do they have this lumbar curve? Because I was an athlete. So I was taught to fight for the abdominal six pack, to pull it up and in, you know, a good pelvis is a lifted pelvis, you know, tuck that belly button to the spine, you know, square off the pelvis, all of these things that go opposite the natural design of a three-year-old and five-year-old. And I thought something was wrong with my kids. So this was such a profound moment for me. So any of you out there that have three-year-olds, four-year-olds, five, look at your child's posture when they lift their arms up, when they're walking, and explore more of Christine's work. It's quite profound. This is how we were born. This is what we were, you know, designed to function with. And we are, you know, enforcing some dogma on top of it that doesn't feel natural, that requires effort and strain and tightening. And we know by nature, if we're tightening something, right, we're going to have decreased blood flow, decreased lymphatic flow, decreased circulation, which is going to impact the whole health of everything in the pelvis. All right, so let's go back to, if you're ready, if you feel that we've covered pieces of this, what is it about the surgery was it one, you were a nurse, so you really know the risks of surgery? Was it two, just an inkling, like this is not for me? And then you explored? Tell us how you made that decision.
Well, I think, you know, maybe my higher self could see that my mother and older sister had been radically changed, even though they were trying to talk me into having the surgery, which is very, very common. You know, women, post hysterectomy women often talk, you know, their relatives, et cetera, into this, there's the surgery. It's just, you know, part of human nature. But the uterus is truly the hub of the wheel, not only of the pelvis. The uterus has huge mesentery called the broad ligament. It has two ropey ligaments called the round ligaments that come off the front of the uterus here and travel down either side of what's called the inguinal canal on either side of the lower belly. And they embed in the labia, which is at the back. The vagina is at the back of the body. We know that. Bend over and your vagina is at the back. Reach around, your anal sphincter is right there at the back. the vagina's right below that. And so the uterus not only separates the abdominal cavity from the pelvic cavity, it also serves, and this is part of the whole woman perspective. You will not find one scientific article in either orthopedics or gynecology, but if it's not this, it's something equally as profound. The uterus is connected to the spine. We have, as astonishing as it may seem, we have an essentially horizontal spine. We kept our quadrupedal spine and we stood up by curving this astonishing small area of the spine. And so when this is removed, the uterus in the reproductive age woman, the uterus is the size of a man's fist. It's huge. So it's whole
muscle, right? Like it's this a big
muscle, huge muscle. And it's holding it's helping to keep the sacrum and lumbar spine, horizontal. And because this angle changes after hysterectomy, the body changes from head to toe. And, you know, let's be frank, we not only see this in humans, we see it in our animals, we see it in cats, we see it in dogs. They change, their structure changes after the removal of the hysterectomy, the removal of the uterus. And it's quite astonishing when they are quadrupedal, it even changes their structure. So it is a radical surgery that, from my perspective, has, you know, very little indication. So does that help?
Absolutely. I mean, you were aware that this major reproductive organ that plays a role in the positioning of the abdominal organs, the positioning of the lower part of the spine, which ultimately affects the positioning of the upper part of the spine, was something that you were not going to just run in and take out. And I would imagine it was your continued research that reinforced the decision. Maybe in the moment, was it more of a no, thank you? You know, I did the one surgery and my uterus came out, right? Like, so it isn't often made clear that one of the surgeries for stress incontinence can put you at risk for uterine prolapse. I mean, that's basic, and that's exactly what happened to you. You had there's several surgeries, but one of the surgeries for a minor experience of stress incontinence, and your uterus then came down through your vagina.
That's right. And, you know, all so-called ventrosuspensions. So in all the incontinence surgeries, as I said, you know, we already have this natural, we should have. Most women don't, because they've lost their natural structure. But we have this angle. It acts like a kink in a garden hose. And we have to relax that to pee, right? And so what the aim of all of the incontinence surgeries is to make another unnatural angle, really now creating a Z, you know, in structure. And it has many, many after effects, you know, difficulty urinating, dribbling after, you know, it changes the anatomy. And I need to reinforce how completely destructive the suburethral slings are, the TVTs, the TOTs, where they use a strip of polypropylene mesh, tunneling through the front vaginal wall and creating a U-shape around the urethra. This material, and it's widely known that it shrinks, it erodes, it migrates, and embeds itself in the bladder, of course, the vaginal wall, the bowel. Just diabolical surgery.
And what's the short name for that surgery? Just the sling? Is that what most people call it?
Yeah, the suburethral sling.
Suburethral sling. Yeah. Okay, just to be clear. Yeah, okay. Keep going.
Yeah, sorry. So while the walls of mesh You see, because in all prolapse surgeries, the goal is to make the hole in the floor smaller, tighter, stronger. It's a completely wrong concept. The vagina is a long tube. And when our lumbar curve, our wide radius lumbar curve is fully in place, the back vaginal wall clamps down tightly on the front vaginal wall. Here's the back of the body. And then, you know, the uterus is dropped down into the lower belly. And this is the closure we want. This is what's protective. So these surgeries are misconceived. Let's just say that. But, you know, women have been taking my book. And by the way, I'm
right here. This is her
current stuff. That's the book, but it is. But we've taken that off the market. It has a CD of original piano music, and we just didn't want to keep that going with the artist. All of that.
It was you can get it on the black market.
Yeah, but I'm working just as Karen knows, studiously on the Whole Woman Book of Natural Health. From women's health to women's health ecology. But you can find everything you need to address this on the website in video form now.
Well, I think this is a perfect time to take a break, just to kind of do our little commercial break. But as always, we would love for you to call in. I believe we have a caller that we'll get right when we come back after this break. But if anyone would like to call in with questions, comments, you name it, we love any feedback, 1-800-930-2819. We're speaking with Christine Kent, and we are talking about pelvic organ prolapse, the downside of surgeries, and the incredible wealth of work that Christine has done to support women in reducing their symptoms, changing their body, and avoiding the incredible risks that are associated with the modern day surgeries associated with incontinence and organ prolapse. So we'll be right back.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at jenniferbloom.com.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit clarity.com. That's Claire, Clare-ity.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Ascending with the Octurians with Vivian Chouvette. Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio every second and fourth Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are shifting from this third dimensional plane of reality to higher octaves of life. Let us reclaim our sovereignty as a united family of light and manifest the planetary ascension, our return to Prime Creator. For information on our services and to connect with Vivian, visit infinitehealingfromthestars.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Here we are on the Truth is Funny radio show, and my guest today is Christine Kent, who is an expert on women's health. I think that is really what encompasses you. We've been having a very lively discussion about the risks of surgeries that are available for women with stress incontinence, for and even just the generalized hysterectomy, any of the abdominal pelvic surgeries, and her own personal experience with a prolapse and how she learned to heal that on her own and to address the symptoms so that she avoided surgery. So what's been amazing is we are on the radio, but this will be available as a video on our website, on my website, and Christine may even post it on hers. So if you're wanting to see some visuals and you happen to be on the radio, stay tuned. Within a couple of days, we'll have the video up. So that is the available on KarenBetton.com. And I believe any of the recordings of this are also available on TransformationRadio.com and TruthIsFunny.com. So please call in live if you have any questions. We would love to talk to you. We had a caller earlier, but I felt it important to do the intro with all the amazing information Christine has. So feel free to call in 1-800-930-2819 and let us know if you have any thoughts or questions or comments. So I think a great general question would be, we've alluded to it, but you know, do natural alternatives to surgery exist? You know, I'm very cautious about using that term heal, you know, heal the problem. You know, in our modern day world, we're often looking for what's gonna fix it, you know, the pill or the quick fix. And your work is not a quick fix, right? Although people right after having birth have probably the quickest turnaround in it. So it's like, we want to get into educating the postpartum woman to support her body to take on your principles. But what are the alternatives that exist outside of surgery for these disorders?
Okay, so these disorders, all of them, are a result of how intra-abdominal pressure moves through the body. Intra-abdominal pressure is our friend. It's often talked about, especially in the medical literature, as being a foe, and that the human body is somehow, you know, not adapted to handle it. And, you know,
I still have the visual from nursing school of the, you know, what's your greatest fear is everything coming down through the floor, you know, and that's already right. What a great moment to know that it's not coming down through a soft tissue floor. You're saying it's coming down and can rest so beautifully on the pubic bones, right? So
lower belly and the pubic bones, our urethra and our vagina are heading over the pubic bones, and they're dropping these organs down into our lower belly.
So we can already rewire that idea that the abdominal pressure is coming down into this soft tissue, and it's the greatest fear a woman has, and she has to tighten up to prevent that all the time.
That's right. That's right. So there are two ways the vagina closes. We talked about this one. We'll talk about it again in a moment. But the vagina can also close like a drawstring, right? And that's the Kegel. So you can imagine, I mean, if most women have a sense that they're, you know, where their front vaginal wall is, where their back vaginal wall is, the bladder is right on the other side of the front vaginal wall. The lowest part of our bowel, the low rectum, is on the other side of, or on the other side of the back vaginal wall. So you can imagine if you're lying on your back, and this is how Kegels are taught, because when you're sitting up like I am with, you know, full lumbar curvature, and you tighten, you really just feel a squeezing at the very front of your pelvis, right? And that's the front of your pubic bone squeezing together. That's also the external sphincter, that that urethra is being flattened. It's being flattened like the vagina is being flattened. But you can imagine then, so you're lying on your back doing these sets of Kegels that your PT has given you. And you can imagine when you're doing this, you are drawing the bladder toward the front vaginal wall. You're drawing the rectum toward the back vaginal wall. You are drawing these organs in the direction of prolapse. This is why women have always said they don't work. They make my prolapse worse. And from my perspective, the only reason that a woman can find some benefit in her stress urinary incontinence is because stress urinary incontinence begins with this little bulge way up at the top, you know, of the urethra, the bladder neck. And so what happens is you're squeezing, you know, squeezing more and more and more. This little walnut grape or walnut sized bulge that collects urine and sends it down when we cough or sneeze, that is growing bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, with this unnatural, you know, structural alignment until it's the size of an eggplant. That is cystocele, big old bulge at the vaginal opening. That started as a, and this is beautifully illustrated in the literature. It's never talked about as a progression. Stress urinary incontinence to cystocele is a progression. And of course, they never tell us how to restore the urethra bladder angle. It's very easy to do. And I've had so many women with just stress urinary incontinence start the whole woman work, and it, you know, they create the kink in the garden hose again. And with all forms of prolapse, it really, you know, the work doesn't vary. There aren't exercises for cystocele, and cystocele is bladder prolapse, aren't, you know, neither for rectocele. It's all moving the contents of the pelvis into its natural alignment. And we are moving everything forward. So, you know, women have the hardest time. Women have a little... you know, poochy belly, that's maybe not the right term, but it's a curved belly. It comes up toward the front from our pubic bones. Our pubic bones are actually at the back, and any woman can feel this. They are right inside the vaginal opening. You can feel the pubic bones. What's at the front of the body is the front of the pelvis. So you see it's the pubic bones are toward the back. And we have this wall of muscle that closes like a pair of elevator doors. As the vagina is flattening inside, when we have that tailbone lifted, which we do, we lift the chest, we lift the tailbone, these muscle walls, and this is true for the abdominal wall and the pelvic wall, they close medially like a pair of, you know, toward each other. And so for diastasis recti, and actually prolapse is a diastasis. It's a widening of the pelvic floor because everything is so lax there. So the abdominal wall is held forward. It's not a flopping out. It's not a flopping out of the belly. It is a relaxing of the belly. It is a lifting of the chest, and it's breathing into what I call the midriff. I mean, I sew, and that's kind of a sewing term. But we can, and but I'm talking about above the navel, right below the breast. This is where the breath comes into when we're young, when we're babies, when we're young children. And when you are chronically holding your belly in, you have no choice but to become a chest breather. So now, instead of with every in-breath, the midriff coming forward, the chest is lifting, and you're using all of this musculature in your face, your neck, your chest. It's really very stressful. And this is probably, you know, the main reason you find the posture, which supports natural breathing. They support each other, why you find it so calming. And of course, it's giving room to the vagus nerve, which is our parasympathetic nervous system. And, so yes, to hold the abdominal wall in is very unnatural. And it's always been kind of a male thing. Do you want me to, you look like you're going to say something.
Well, I was having a visual of like how far back this goes to corsets, right? Like pulling in a woman's, you know, like from the old, even English ways of pulling in this abdominal part of sort of the, anyway, I was having a vision of this. This isn't just the six packs. We're going back hundreds of years of when we were restricting this area with the corsets that, you know, was in fashion, you know, so we're just talking about hundreds of years of repatterning that has.
Oh, it's so true. Right? It's a fascinating topic because you can find old portraits. European artists really love to do side portraits, right? Mm-hmm. And you can, what happens, and this is, you can see this everywhere out there. Pilates teachers, yoga teachers, young mommies who have had a couple of kids. So when you hold the midriff in, those abdominal organs, I call the stomach and the liver postural organs, and they also need to be at right angles to their channels. All organs that move fluid through the body do. What happens is the loops of small bowel, everything that's up here is sent down. So what you see out there, very, very common, are women who, and they're healthy, they're athletic, they're real tiny under their breasts, but they're too large down below. Your midriff under your breasts, the upper abdominal wall should be the leading edge of your abdominal wall. And we see this in women, as I said, from traditional cultures who have never been told to suck it in.
You've never worn a corset in their lineage at all, right?
Yeah. So the lower belly really should be behind the upper abdominal wall, and it should be gently rounded. There's a hollow inside that these organs live in, right? So, yeah, and then, you know, that we can come back then to natural breathing, and life is good in so many ways because this, you know, we are, as I said, mind, body, spirit beings, and it has implications for our entire life. Yeah. When we come back, it's a very special thing to come back to our intended posture. And how do we know it's natural? Because it's evidenced in our development as human beings.
Do you think a practice that would be so simplified, but incorporates it? I mean, for me, just breathing into that midriff area, just taking my hand and putting it above my navel, and breathing into that area is really challenging. It's gotten a lot easier, but it feels strange. Is that a normal response?
Absolutely. You know, and frankly, women, you know, work on this for a long time because it's not just the muscles that are chronically shortened here. It's all of the connective tissue, the layers of connective tissue. And it's, you know, it's not easily released. It takes practice, but there is nothing more important for your entire health. You know, the stomach sits at a right angle to the esophagus when it's allowed to live here. When we have it chronically pulled in, it is now drawn in to line with the esophagus. So women become much more subject to acid reflux, hiatal hernia, literally sucking the contents of the stomach up the pipe. So, you know, we have this beautiful sacred geometry posture, alignment of our spine. Women have a more pronounced lumbar curvature than men. We have, and this was beautiful science out of Harvard University, 2008. I was just so thrilled to see it, a team led by a woman, by the way. And what they discovered is women have three what are called wedged lumbar vertebrae. They're taller in front and shorter in back. That's what makes the curve. Males only have two of those. Males do have, you know, to be human is to have a pronounced lumbar curvature, or they should have. But it's more so in the female, and it's really, you know, the front part of the pelvic wall is closed off in men, you know, and so we are subject to vaginal prolapse. That's the path of least resistance to all of this tremendous intra-abdominal pressure. Just sitting and breathing, talking, we are creating this tremendous amount of internal pressure with every in-breath. And so, it's transformational work, as you know.
Okay, we have 3 minutes left, but we have a caller. So just in case we don't get to end, let's bring the caller on. And everyone, you know, check out the Whole Woman Conference. It's coming up in August. You can get all your information at wholewoman.com. My website, KarenBenton.com, this interview will be on there. And let's take the caller, Elaine, and we'll close it out with that.
Elaine, you're
so
on.
Much more. I look forward to having Christine back on because, boy, there's so many directions we can go in.
And Elaine, you're on live with Karen and Christine for your question.
Oh, good morning. I had been listening to most of your talk show and with great interest because I have had this prolapse surgery. And here's my question. I had it done 15 years ago, and it was severe. And the urogynecologist who did it, unfortunately, did use mesh. It's been not very problematic. But here's my if I had to over again, I would rather not have that in my body, of course. What alternative would there be if a doctor is faced with a patient with several organs protruding badly? How does he hold them, or he or she hold them up? How does that work? Is there an answer besides using someone's own tissue, which I know they like to use, but my case was too severe?
Right. So you had a hysterectomy?
I had, I did, yes. It came with it because of the prolapse. I was losing the bladder, the several organs.
The walls of mesh.
Correct.
Right.
They did. Yes.
So, yes, you know, your vagina is still connected to your intestines at the top of the vaginal wall. So women are, after hysterectomy, are subject to tremendous prolapse of not only their bladder and rectum, but their bowel can prolapse as well out the vagina. So learning
I had the hysterectomy while I was having the prolapse surgery done because the uterus was, he just took it out. I didn't have one before then.
Yeah.
We have 1 minute left. So that's
we have a wonderful program, first aid for prolapse for the post-hysterectomy woman. And that's what I would suggest. You too need this work because by learning to hold your abdominal contents forward, how can they prolapse more severely out the back?
So there's a wealth of opportunity on Christine's website. You can contact either one of us for more information. Thank you so much for bringing your question in because so many women have the experiences that you're speaking of, Elaine. And this is why it's so important for us to get this work out there, to start talking about it more. And I very much look forward if Christine would honor me and come back on the radio show. I'm sure we could do a whole show where we just took questions once the work gets out there. And I would love to be the vehicle for that because I think, like I said in the beginning, this work is not just helping you prevent this negative sequelae of surgery, but it's deeply empowering for your mind, body, and spirit. So I am so honored to be in Christine's course, and thank you so much for taking the hour to explore this with us and the audience, Christine. And we look forward to next week. Any closing words, Christine?
Oh, it's been my great pleasure to be with you, Karen. And, you know, the sooner women can get off this highly misconceived surgical wheel, the better. There is no surgical cure for prolapse. And we can leave it there and pick it up next time.
That's a great one. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you to the audience, to the callers. I'm sorry we missed when we didn't get to it, but she will be back, I promise you. And have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful week. And Colette will be back next week. And I'll be back in 1 month from now. So thank you so much to all.
Thank you for listening to The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens with Karen Benton. Tune in every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more rich discussions packed with practical tools to help you learn to live limitlessly. Are you looking for more? Visit KarenBetton.com to schedule a private session, join her weekly movement medicine class, and discover some amazing products you didn't know you wanted to try. Ever heard of chocolate meditation? That's KarenBetton.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.